Hi, Jay. Welcome to the Sounds of Success.
Thanks, Rob. It's a pleasure really talking to you and interacting with your members.
Fantastic. Well, hey, I know you're a super busy guy, so let's dive right into our interview, Martial Arts Marketing with the Master. Jay, let's get started here by talking a little bit about your background. How and when did you get started helping others with your amazing marketing strategies?
Fundamentally, Rob, I started about 25 years ago. I worked for lots of different companies in totally unrelated fields, and I had a number of massive and really almost amazing successes. And upon reflecting, one day I realized that the reason I had done so well was I was able to take totally unrelated strategies, methodologies, selling, marketing, customer client generating approaches from all kinds of unrelated industries and apply them to industries that had never heard of them, and it just skyrocketed them. And after I realized that, I stopped working for other people because we had massive successes and started basically counseling, first of all, privately. I counseled, you know, private clients and made a lot of money. Then we started really trying to help people who couldn't afford $5,000 an hour, or for whom 25% of the profits, which is what I got on contingency, wasn't, you know, they couldn't pay enough that it'd be worth our time. We started selling training programs and expensive tape programs and $400 books and things like that. And so I sort of migrated into it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've had an illustrious career, and it just seems to be getting better and better every day. And in fact, you've consulted with practically every type of business known to man, including martial arts schools. What do you think are some of the weak spots in martial arts marketing, and what can school owners do to overcome those weaknesses?
You know, that's a really barbed leading question, but I'll do my very best, Rob, to try to answer it in an instructional way that anybody can really gain from. First thing is you got to understand from the get-go what a, I'll call it a client, what a student, what a, whatever reference mode you have is worth to the school, to your business over the course of their expected life. Most people don't look at marketing or advertising in the right light. They say, I'm going to spend $1,000 a month, or I'm going to spend 5% of sales. That's ludicrous. You've got to figure out for every blank leads you get, or free trials you get, or four week, cheap trials that you get, how many convert to a $500 or $1,000 or $2,000 student, and how many of those students go for a year or two or three, and until you know what the cumulative implications of everybody coming through your system are in dollars and cents, you don't know how much you can afford to invest, not spend, but invest to bring people in. So I call that marginal net worth or the lifetime value. You got to learn that, first of all. That's the first thing. Second of all, you got to learn that marketing is a continuous strategic process. It's not an episodic, tactical process. Everything has to be designed to advance, enhance, and achieve a continuous, progressive goal. Most people in your field are at best episodic. They are totally tactical. They run ads that don't make any sense. They don't run things continuously. They don't understand any of the process of integrated marketing. When you understand that, it makes you many times more successful very quickly. Probably not in a day, but over 6 or 9 months, you can double, triple, quadruple 10 times your results, and it can be quite profound. The next thing is you must be able to clearly, definitively, immediately define, describe, and articulate what your unique selling proposition is. You must be able to explain instantly to somebody the reason why. Key is reason why they are foolish not to avail themselves of your school, of your training, of your courses. What's in it for them? And I can get deep in this, but it'll take too long. The next thing is you've got to be able to systematically, strategically, and continuously mine and harvest a constant and a qualitative flow of referrals. And it's not episodic and it's not intermittent. When I look at companies in all fields, but in that field particularly, I'll say, well, how much of your business comes from word of mouth or from referrals? And I would say, unless you've got a terrible school, unless you're really abrupt and rude and coarse and callous with your students, most schools would probably have somewhere between 20% and 100% of their business, of their students, of their clientele emanate from referrals or word of mouth. Wouldn't you think, Rob?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what is the average size school? I mean, what is it in annual?
Average size school is probably about 110 students. But, you know, in the NAPMA organization, we work with everybody from the small-time instructor to people that are doing millions a year.
Would you say that reasonably a school that does $200,000 a year is average, low, high?
I'd say that's about average.
Okay, so let's say they're doing $200,000 a year. Let's say that 40% comes from referrals. Is that reasonable?
It depends on the school. Some people we know have eliminated most of their advertising, and they're just getting most of their new students from referrals. Other people report the opposite.
It should be. I mean, you can have a buy-referral-only business that virtually dispenses with advertising, but in order to do that, you have to be very strategic in your ability to structure proactive, systematic, formalized, continuous referral generation systems. But back at the ranch, let's say it's 40%. What I ask people when I meet with them, and if I had all your listeners in a room, I'd say, stand up if at least 40% of your business is referral generated. They'd all stand, and 40% of 200, if that's the average, is $80,000. And incrementally, you could argue that's almost all profit if the rest of the business is coming from your advertising. But I'd say stay standing if you have in place at least one formalized, systematized, ongoing referral-generating system that really is worked every day, all the time, in every scenario with all your students, including positioning them from the beginning that your business is based on referrals, and once and if and after you teach them what you promised and they see the transformation and they get the confidence and they get the ability and they get the character built and their kid, you know, gains more attributes, they agree from the beginning that they will refer two or three like-minded families, friends, parents, children, whatever. Unless you have at least one system in place, you're dead. Most people don't even have one. They do it intermittently. They do it just through the organic growth, which is stupid because we studied actually 7,137 unrelated industries, and what we found is a concept that's as common as dirt, Rob, in one industry. It can have the power, the profitability, the preemptive capability, meaning it blocks everybody else, the preeminent capability, meaning it lofts you to such a high stature of an atom bomb if you're the first and only one to use it. We found 93 unrelated, unduplicated, excuse me, referral-generating systems that almost nobody knows about, but if you could use, you don't have to use 93, but most companies, most martial arts schools don't even use one regularly. If you used five or six, you could double, triple, quadruple your clientele. And the kind of clientele that emanate from a referral, Rob, they close quicker. They argue, negotiate fees less. They come more often. They're more qualitative. They're more enjoyable. They refer more people, and they're far more profitable.
Yeah, the least expensive and highest quality source of new business. That's
a sustaining future business. But so you're asking me some of the things I would say to martial arts. I would say if you're going to run ads, make sure the ads are designed to be direct response. Make sure you know what your goal is. Make sure that they're designed to be focused strictly on the reader and what's in it for you, the reader. Make sure that you have a call to action. Make sure you have some offer of information or an experience or an observation or something that will really give them a benefit relative to some area of their life or their family's life they're looking to reach. Like, you know, you want to transform your child's confidence. You want to find them, you know, a way to build your health, reduce your stress, open your mental acuity and have a great time to boot, or whatever it is.
Got to sell the benefits. Help? It really does. In fact, while we're talking about advertising, Jay, what are your thoughts on Yellow Page ads, since this is really one of the most common ways that martial arts schools advertise?
I think Yellow Pages can be useful, semicolon, however. Most people run terrible Yellow Page ads. They don't really, they're static. They don't really understand. You got, somebody's gonna only going to look in there when they're looking to take action. If you're going to take action, what you want to do right away with the headline, and the headline is 80 to 90% of the whole impact of any ad you run, including a Yellow Page ad. The headline is the ad for the ad. The difference in one headline and another, or no headline, half of them don't have a headline. The rest that have headlines have terribly weak, tepid, anemic, self-serving headlines or just declarative, not benefit-oriented headlines. The difference between the right benefit-oriented headline and the wrong one can be 21 times more or less effectiveness.
Amazing.
That's 2,100% greater yield from the same expense. And most people don't have anything in their headline to denominate what's in it for me when I'm perusing 20 or 30 of them. If it said, hey, you know, we'll turn you into blank and blank, you know, blank, or it's free, or we'll let you experience it before you ever have to pay, or we'll get you and your kids, whatever the benefits are.
I understand.
You're selling benefits. You're not selling features, and it's like what people don't realize is there's a concept, Rob, called the you attitude. It's not you, you. It's that when I'm working for a client, I don't care about the client's needs or desires. I care about the people they're trying to serve. It's all about them. It's not about the client. Client is enriched only after they fulfill, satisfy, enrich, enhance, protect, expand, entertain, whatever the service, mm-hmm. product or service is rendering, and you got to realize that.
Mm-hmm. Now, a minute ago, Jay, you were making reference to the unique selling proposition, and this is one of the first things that actually you ever taught me when I was studying your work. In your own words, for our audience today, what is a unique selling proposition, and why should every martial arts school owner create one?
Why don't I do it rather than explaining it in a technical or an academic sense? Why don't I demonstrate it?
Mm-hmm.
You know how when Federal Express first started, and there was a bunch of undependable and very unprofessional. You're probably too young. You sound youthful.
You found me out.
And I'm in my 50s. And when Federal Express first came out, it was a really gruff, scruffy, undependable environment. They came out and said, when it absolutely, positively has to be there overnight by 10 a.m., FedEx guaranteed.
Brilliant.
When pizza was only available if you called it, came to the store and picked it up, Domino's came out and said, hot, fresh, delicious pizza delivered to your door in 30 minutes or less, or it's yours free.
Mm-hmm.
When Nordstrom's, and I don't know if you have Nordstrom's where you are.
Yes, we do.
Nordstrom's came out. They built their whole business on a very simple positioning, unique selling proposition. It was, if you are dissatisfied with any purchase for any reason at any time in the future, you can have a refund, you can have a credit, or you can have a replacement, no questions asked. When Avis came out, they were not the leading company. They were smaller. They weren't as well known, and they said, we're number two, so we have to do more and try harder. That's a unique selling proposition. Does that make sense to you?
Indeed it does. Let's shift gears for a moment, Jay. Like any membership-driven organization, a martial arts school, they're always constantly trying to enroll new members, but in a cost-effective manner. What are some of the low-cost marketing strategies that you believe would work well for instructors that are on a limited budget?
Well, again, I'm going to go back to what I said at the beginning of this interview.
Mm-hmm.
Cost-effective is a relative term. If you find out that every time you get 10 people to start an experience, four of them convert, and the average person spends $2,000 a year and stays 4 years, and those, what did I say, four people or two?
Four.
Four times two times four is eight times four is $32,000. You could probably afford to spend a not inconsequential amount of money to bring them in, couldn't you?
Well, it depends on your expenses.
Know what they're worth, because most people don't.
Yeah.
And also know incrementally that if tomorrow morning you've got, 200 students, and I added 30 more to you. If you came to me and said, Jay, if I could get you 30 more students that were going to stay for 3 years, but you had to give me 100% of the first year, really an astute business person who understands the financial dynamics could say yes. I'm not saying that your students should, but you just understand that. And when you know what they're worth, you know how much more you can expend in either sales commission, joint ventures, etc. So I would advertise more, but more effectively. I would go to organizations that already have a strong affinity mm-hmm. with the market and work out joint ventures with them now that you know what they're worth.
Mm-hmm.
You could have a deal where an organization invited all their members to come for special private classes or for a 3 or 6 month preview or a discount. You just want to get a lot of people started, and your goal in life is to lower the barrier of entry,
mm-hmm.
to accelerate the buying process so people get into the groove faster and you start making more money for a longer period of time. It's very logical, but most people in your field don't. They're very dedicated. They're very high integrity, most of them. They're very qualitative people. Many of them are spiritual. They got incredible
mm-hmm.
character, and they do a lot of good to build.
Athletes training hard.
Yeah, but I don't think they get a clue about marketing and the business dynamics and how to really make a lot of qualitative and ethical money in this business, and you got to start by taking a deep breath and looking at dynamics like that.
Well, on that note, on a scale of 1 to 10, say 10 being the best, how would you rate most of the martial arts print ads you've seen?
They're not very good, Rob. And that's not the right question. Let me give you a little primer in lead generating 101.
Mm-hmm.
Lead generating 101 is about the quantity of people you bring in, the quality, the convertibility, the residual value, what they buy the first time, how long they stay with you. Most people that I have seen in your field don't have any kind of strategic, integrated, systematic approach. Mm. Basically, we have found in all the clients we've worked with that today people need to be respectfully, benevolently approached numerous sequential times mm-hmm. to maximize the yield. We did an experiment where we did a mailing to a list and pulled nothing. We did 25 subsequent communications over 4 months and brought $5 million out of the same list that didn't do anything in the beginning. And what we've found is most people don't understand the lead generating and conversion process. You run a lead. You run an ad. You get leads. Some come in, some don't. Mm-hmm. Some call, some don't show up. Some try it, some leave. Most people in your field feebly follow up or don't follow up. They're very superficial. They're very limited. They're very episodic in what they do. You have to have an integrated, perpetual system because you'll find that every time you communicate with them, like call, like I have a little business that sells $5,000 tape sets. They're expensive tape sets. Mm-hmm. We have it in one program we're doing right now. 8,000 prospects.
Mm-hmm.
Every 2 weeks, we send them a different communication in a different form. We send them an email. We send them a letter. We just did a telephone message to them. We're doing faxes, and every time we do it, we get another 20 people to buy $5,000. But if we stopped,
mm-hmm.
it would be just devastating. I did a seminar a couple of months, about 9 months ago, mm-hmm. and I had like 700 people pay $5,000 to come.
Was that the one in L.A. by chance?
It was.
We were there.
Yeah. Oh, good. So you were at it?
Actually, we were hosting our NAPMA West show right next door.
That was a $25,000 one. The one that you guys were next door to, we were actually doing a $25,000. But we did a $5,000 one, and we had just under 700 people. And you can do the math. It's $3.5 million. Now, that's not what's impressive. I wanted to prove to people the point I just made. I had done about 25 different sequences of communications, promotions, advancing, enhancing processes to move people through the migration path to closure.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I did one, I named everything I did, and I had people stand up and go to the wall who were finally impacted to action by that.
Mm-hmm.
But I started with the first one that I did, and about, let's say there were 700 people, 50 people went to the wall. So instead of having $3.5 million in revenue, I would have only had $250,000 if I'd stopped there.
Mm.
I did the next one, another 60 people, next one, another 60, next one, another. And the point I'm making is most people in your field give up prematurely.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's a scenario. I'm a martial arts school owner. I've got, say, a variety of different marketing strategies in place out there in the field. Roughly, how many times does a potential student have to hear my name or see my ad before they finally take action and call my school?
Until it stops being profitable. I mean, see, I believe in polarization. We believe in a philosophy called the power parthenon of geometric business growth. We believe in accessing a market from as many sustainable focal points as possible. We believe in advertising, strategic alliances, emails, joint ventures, space advertising, radio joint ventures, previewing.
So you're generating a lot of different leads from a lot of different sources.
Because people today, it's all important to the owner of the martial arts school. It's nominally or modestly important to the adult or the student, and it's very easy to procrastinate, equivocate. Ask yourself this question, Rob. In your life, are you married?
I am not yet, but I am engaged.
Okay, how old are you?
I'm 33.
You live at home or you live in your own apartment?
At home.
Okay. Do you have a car?
Yes.
Do you have any hobbies or interests?
Martial arts.
You like, are you a snatty dresser?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything in your life right now you've been wanting to do that you've procrastinated from?
There's a couple things.
Right, going on a trip, getting a brochure about, a locale, maybe for this company, finding out about a new hotel to do at a seminar and interviewing or monitoring a speaker, any of a million things.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because you really weren't interested, because it really isn't somewhat important, or because it was easy to procrastinate because it wasn't top-of-mind awareness?
Exactly.
The job is to keep your proposition. First of all, there's two things. I'm going to give you that. It's to keep it aware at a higher level than anybody else. Second is to understand the Baskin-Robbins theory of marketing. It's bullets, buttons, benefits, hot buttons. If the whole world just loved vanilla and chocolate, there wouldn't be a Baskin-Robbins, would there?
Got to have that variety.
And variety translates to different stimulus, different reasons why people might be interested. You might write me and say, hey, how'd you like to have your character built? Well, maybe that appeals to some people. Then you write me again or communicate, Jay, you know, I know character building is important, but I bet health is important, or I bet confidence is important. And you write me again and say, you know, a lot of people tell us the character and the confidence is really high ranking, but they really love the stress release. Mm-hmm. Another one might say, but do you see where I'm taking it?
It's variety, absolutely.
Not variety, it's sequential. Mm-hmm. It's sequentially dimensionalizing from as many different focal planes all the different combined reasons why somebody should take action.
Mm-hmm. And as you know, in our business, people are always dropping out. What are some effective strategies that instructors can use for marketing to former students?
Well, the first thing is to preempt it from the beginning.
I'm
going to say, look, let me tell you what's going to happen. Instead of disacknowledging the obvious, say, let me tell you, Rob, one thing's going to happen, and it's normal, but we're going to do everything in our power to help you overcome it. In the course of your busy life, in the course of your family, in the course of your travels, in the course of your holidays, you're going to have times, and you're going to have issues, and you're going to have activities that divert you from this, and you're going to interrupt it, and that's very normal. What often happens if somebody isn't really highly committed, doesn't have the character, doesn't recognize the lifetime commitment value and payoff, that it's easy to get negatively habituated and go back. So what we're going to do, let's have a mutual understanding from the get-go that I have permission when, because not if, because I can guarantee in your life you're going to have issues that are going to take you away, when and if you don't come back for in a reasonable period of time, I have your permission to follow up because we're concerned. Because you're going to leave us for one of three reasons. Either you're going to have an interruption in your life, something's going to happen that you get hurt, or a family member is impaired or you're diverted, or you're either going to stop enjoying the process or stop getting value. If it's the first or the second, we have an obligation to you to keep you getting benefit, because if you're stressed, if you have problems, this is going to be the best thing you can do to overcome it. If we fail you, if we stop adding benefit, if you stop growing and progressing, if your stress level goes up, we have an obligation to you to, first of all, correct it, whether you stay with us or not. I mean, I would just have a preemptive position from the get-go.
And to get those people back in class, would you use maybe a combination of telemarketing or direct mail marketing?
I'm going to give you, this is very powerful.
Okay.
Attrition, which is inactivity.
Mm-hmm.
You get attrition for three reasons. Number one, they had an interruption in their life, has nothing to do with you, and they got negatively habituated. Number two, they had a bad experience they didn't tell you about. Number three, they outgrew it. If it's number one, just contacting them with heartfelt concern for their well-being will get half of them back.
Mm.
If they had a bad experience, you want to know about it, because unless you're really a sadist or disrespectful, you would not normally consciously or purposely do that. So you want to do the right thing. And what you say to them now, and this is very powerful, you want to say, Rob, look, it's important to me and to this school that the last experience you had with us is a positive. So if you had a bad experience, I insist that you come back and you train with our top person for the next 4 weeks on me. And if you never come back after that, at least you can say that the last classes you did were great, because I don't want it to be on my conscience that you had a bad experience. You do what it takes. Mm-hmm. If they have already outgrown you, the odds are they had a great experience. They just either got too old, they moved out of the area, maybe, for whatever reason, something was changed. But they're a great source of referrals. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just the key to this, Rob, is thinking and being and acting strategically, not tactically.
Mm-hmm.
And you teach it. I mean, truthfully, martial arts is very strategic. We had in our program your colleague, and
Phil Beatty.
Yeah, he was wonderful. And it was a strategy setting summit. It was a $25,000 program where we were teaching entrepreneurs a little larger than your listeners or readers of your publication and your members how to think, act, and transact their marketing from a super strategic, fully integrated manner. Mm-hmm. And my analogy to him, and he agreed, was that martial arts teaches strategic thinking, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Just ask Joe Lewis.
Don't do anything really for you should never do anything just statically and tactically. It's got to always have an ultimate. It's like setting it up for the next thing and the next thing. And my analogy is regular billiards. Do you understand what regular billiards, not pocket billiards, but regular billiards is?
No. Regular billiards? I know what pocket billiards is.
Regular billiards, you play without pockets, and it's all about positioning and strategy. Everything is designed to set the ball up for the next shot.
Interesting. Jay, I was studying your work in the mid-90s, and I recall that you believed very strongly in sending out long-form letters to potential customers. Has your insight into this changed? Is there any different delivery methods that are more effective these days?
Sometimes. I think people are less focused. People can't read as much. Sometimes you have to be summarized. But what hasn't changed is that you have to tell a complete story. You have to focus on benefits, not features. People don't buy features. They buy the benefits. And the analogy we tell people is we use a real simple. I use metaphors and similes because they're easy for people to remember. Mm-hmm. You go to a hardware store to buy a drill. You don't really want a drill. What do you want?
You want to fix your problem.
You want a hole.
Ah.
What are you buying? You're buying a benefit. People don't bring me in because they want to pay somebody $5,000 an hour. They don't come to my seminars because they want to pay $25,000 for a month. They want to learn how to make triple, quadruple, mm-hmm. 10 times more profit. They want to basically out-position, out-market, out-compete. They want to basically double, triple, quadruple their income. They want to basically stop, spending most of the money on marketing. I mean, and so you got to sell the benefit. The world buys and treasures benefits, not features.
And a lot of guys are trying to do that through television advertising. And on that note, what are some of the do's and don'ts that school owners should keep in mind when television advertising comes into the picture?
Well, the only kind of advertising that I'm familiar with that I would recommend is direct response. It should always be designed to evoke an immediate, direct, and measurable response. So it's a profit center. It's not a cost.
Got it.
You don't want to do institutional advertising. I would experiment in your locales, if I were you, with the following, with radio and television infomercials and with long form. I would see if I could get two-minute ones, and I would have them talk about benefits. I'd make an invitation. I wouldn't try to just be cute and clever. Mm-hmm. I would have everything be very, very serious, very benefit-oriented, better focused on an outcome and an action, mm-hmm. Want to learn how, again, you can have all kinds, and you can test each one and see which one pulls. You want to say, want to know the easiest, most enjoyable way to lose weight, get your stress level down, have fun, and get your mind clear, then consider spending 4 weeks with us at ABC School and let us show you why martial arts is growing larger than anything else and why more people stay in martial arts on a sustaining basis than anything else. And you can make a low price or free, but you try a lot of different versions. I would consider, if I were your people, doing a radio infomercial. I think it would be wonderful, and they're very cheap.
Mm-hmm. And you've really struck a chord here, Jay. Please talk to us a little bit about the importance of tracking your marketing results and keeping accurate business statistics.
Well, I would say if you don't measure, monitor, quantify, and improve, then you shouldn't be in business. One ad will outproduce another, sometimes by 21 times. One quality lead will outconvert another sometimes by 10 times. One kind of lead will spend, maybe 20 times more money. Maybe stay 4 years instead of 4 months. Don't you want to know which ones those are? Because an ad that doesn't look like it's pulling great may be 10 times more profitable over forever. You won't know that till you test. You won't know what hot point pulls the best, not just on front end, which is just inquiry or free visits or cheap trial, but on the conversion. Unless you monitor, measure, quantify, compare, and really study, and the data will always tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be omnipotent. You don't have to be clairvoyant. You'll be an incredible marketing genius if you just let the market tell you by testing different suppositions and very carefully analyzing, monitoring, measuring, and always, always managing and keeping track of the data.
Got it. Now, someone who's always on the leading edge, what advice concerning web-related marketing and using the internet in general would you give to martial arts school owners?
Well, we have some very, let's say, iconoclastic views. We think having a website is very good, but we think having people call you is better. Mm-hmm. So we think driving people to a phone number is better than letting them do anything online. We think it's really good that the website should start by having, it shouldn't just say, welcome to Rob's website, because it's not about Rob, it's about me. I only have a finite amount of time. I'm gonna stay or leave based on the proposition, the promise, the payoff that you telegraph from the get-go. Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm, I do.
So if I read it and you say, welcome to Rob's website, I don't give a damn. Mm-hmm. If you say, in the next three pages, we'll explain to you 22 different ways you can improve your body, your mind, your stress level, your health, your character, your concentration, your stamina, your sexual prowess, your this, your that, guaranteed, and introduce you to people who have had wonderful experiences and then make you an offer that is, it costs you nothing to find out. Let us transform you before you ever have to make a commitment. That would want to know more, wouldn't you?
Absolutely, and it's like we've been telling our members for years, you know, you got to sell the benefits. Jay, what are some simple tips and strategies that every school owner should know about direct mail marketing, one of your true areas of expertise?
Well, I don't want to get too deep in this because it could be I could do 3 days on it. But first thing is, you know, there's a simple formula. It's also a sales formula. It's called AIDA. First thing is you got to get their attention. Normally, it shouldn't be cute. It should be very benefit-oriented, self-serving to them, what's in it for them. Safe is like how to something or why, something that is a promise of a payoff. Second, attention, interest. Then you got to develop it. Then you got to make a proposition. Then you got to take away the risk. Then you got to tell them what the payoff is for them. Mm-hmm. And there's a concept called future pacing, which is a neuro-linguistic conditioning, which is taking people into the future on a journey of what it's going to be like if, when, and after they take action. Then you got to tell them the action to take. Then you got to tell them the relief of risk that goes along with it. Like, hey, if you don't like it, you can leave. Hey, if you're not at least, if you don't have your stamina improved at least 30% in the first month, stop. Hey, if you're not waking up more refreshed, more energized, hey, if you're not concentrating, hey, if your sex life doesn't improve, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You got to basically walk them through the stuff that is important to them, not you.
Mm-hmm. Now, for all of you NAPMA members listening out there, I just want you to know that one of the best books I've read that just gave me my start in learning how to write direct mail letters and so forth was Jay's book, Money-Making Secrets of Marketing Genius, Jay Abraham and Other Marketing Wizards. A brilliant, brilliant book.
It's expensive, but it's a great one. It's a compilation of about $50,000 worth of our seminars produced and organized. That's not a sales pitch for it, but it's one of the best things we've done. We've sold like 50 or 60,000 of them around the world, and people have reported really great things. It's very gracious.
Well, you sold one to my instructor, John Graydon, and he gave that to me, as I said, in the 90s, and I still use it as a reference today. So
they sell 3,000 or 4,000 of them a month, so it's a pretty cool book. What else can I help you with, Rob?
Well, Jay, before someone can begin to market more effectively and take their business to the next level, do they first have to adjust their current mindset? Do they have to drop some of their baggage, as they say, or alter their psychology? Please elaborate a little.
Well, there's three key elements. First of all, mindset, methodology, and strategy. There's a strategic mindset that I try to get people to embrace, and it takes about 3 hours to explain it. And again, this isn't a ad for it, but it's something that if you wanted, we could make a very generous and modest priced offer to everybody and your members to get a copy of this. We've got it video and audio, but it's called The Strategy of Preeminence, and it's a very powerful transformatic way of looking at the relationship you have with the people you serve. And it starts by seeing yourself as their most trusted, long-term, permanent advisor, and as that, you have an obligation, a moral responsibility to serve them in ways no competitor does. You don't let them do what they shouldn't. You don't let them commit to less, do less. You don't let them off the hook. You advise them in what's in their best interest. You treat them as a client, not as a customer. And the reason you treat them as a client, not a customer, is that if you look up in a world where everyone's trying to turn you into a commodity, where consumers are trying to marginalize you, competitors are trying to minimize you, you got to be distinctive. You got to show the world that you are not just a good or a superior choice, but you are the only viable solution to a problem that they don't even know they have, that you alone can verbalize, understand, and empathize. And then you've got to be able to treat them with a higher level of reverence and respect. If you call somebody a customer, if you look up Webster's Dictionary's definition of a customer, it's somebody who's under the care, it's somebody who buys a commodity or service. It's very, very commoditized. You look up a client, it's somebody under the care, the protection, the well-being of another. It's a very high-level fiduciary responsibility. Mm-hmm. When you start realizing, and it's very consistent with what I think the fundamentals of martial arts ideological grounding is, but I think that a lot of times martial artists they love their students, but they feel, see, the trick to this is you don't fall in love with martial arts, you fall in love with your clients.
Mm.
Live for their betterment. You live for knowing that every time they're in your scepter, their lives are better because of it. You know that they're advancing. You know they're living better. They're less stressed. They're happier. They're more confident. Their character's built. They're better husbands. They're better fathers. They're better students. They're better teachers. It's a longer explanation, but you have to have a mindset of being very analytical, very quantitative. You've got to have a mindset of being very strategic. You've got to have a mindset of maximizing all the ways of reaching somebody. You got to realize it's not episodic. It's about continuous, constant, never-ending access to the market. You've got to realize that you're not going to eliminate things from happening unless you pre-program them into your strategy, like attrition. Like, I mean, it's just an, and you just got to look at things. You got to know what something is worth so you can know what you can afford to invest in it. I mean, it's very simple when somebody like myself explains it, but there are things people just for whatever reason don't ever think about.
Well, Tony Robbins sometimes says common sense is not all that common.
What else can I do for you?
Jay, you are just so creative with your marketing efforts. Can you kind of explain to us on the importance of innovation and how it is that you're just always thinking out of the box and being creative with your various approaches? Why is that so important?
Well, it's important for three reasons. Number one, and Peter Drucker, who most of you probably don't even know, he's the father of modern-day management theory. He said something very powerful. He said that marketing and innovation are the two things that make money in business. Everything else is an expense. Marketing basically attracts people, shows them, educates them, explains to them the benefit, commits them to action. Innovation, you know, gives them the advantage, the superior payoff. I would add and say strategy is really the definitor. You change your marketing, you can change your results by 20 times. You change your strategy, you can instantly improve your results by 10 times. Most people aren't strategic, and they don't know how to market. Remind me what the question was, because I was going to roll, but I think I might have gotten a little tangential.
We work with about 2,000 schools here at NAPMA, and what we have found is that most schools are relatively unaffected by economic downturns. In your opinion, why do you think that is?
Well, let's take a look at it. Is probably, if that is in fact true, it's because people are attracted to do better when they're feeling good. They're attracted to, you know, get relief when they're feeling bad. So you probably have an equalizer. But I would say that the odds are also that people don't demand enough. There should be more variance. There should be more variance, but it probably means they don't market and they're not strategic and sustaining of markers enough to let the variance work. So it's just basically they have accepted not mediocrity, but the lowest common denominator of sustaining result, if that makes sense. I would think it's probably actually a negative, but not a positive. How many people in your membership really are supreme marketers and are very strategic?
It's kind of tough for me to quantify that, but one thing I do know is that they come to us for help with that.
And that's one of the reasons they become a member, right?
Correct.
That's cool. But, I think it's, I mean, the good news to know, there's a great quote that I would give you. It's a quote by a really interesting man that I've worked with, and I've worked with hundreds of specialists in all areas of business, personal, peak, and optimal performance. This guy's name is Bob Proctor, and he works with insurance people, but he's got a really cool quote. He says, most people struggle non-verbally. They don't even verbalize this, but it's an obsessive question that they haunts them in business. And it's the wrong question to ask. The question that haunts people is, am I worthy of this goal? Can I build my school to 500,000? Can I get 400 students? Can I reduce my lapse or attrition rate? Can I create advertising that pulls better? That's not the right question at all. The question is more, is the goal worthy of me? Because when you study how much higher and better ways there are to bring people in, to sustain them, to contribute, to monetize them ethically, to serve them, you probably, all your listeners, accept a fraction of the results, of the yield, of the income. We start most of our group seminars with a provocative question. I say simply, is it possible that you're unknowingly, unintentionally, severely restricting and limiting, and then I say fill in the blank, the number of people who can contact you, the number of clients that you serve, the size of the transaction you do with, the duration they they come to you, the number of other members of their organization or their family that could be served by you, the number of referrals you could get from them, because you're not really guiding them, you're not really maximizing your marketing opportunities. Mm-hmm. That would have the people listening to this or reading it, whatever you're going to do with this,
mm-hmm. both.
You reflect on that, because it's a very profound and provocative question, Rob.
Mm-hmm. And I do have actually one last question with your permission, and it comes from the director and developer of our new NAPMA Squared program, Mr. Stephen Oliver. Stephen asks, Jay, what would be your top three suggestions for schools to expand their market and get a higher number of families to respond to their marketing efforts?
Well, I'm not sure that it's going to be different than what I've already said in filaments and other questions. But the first thing is have strategic integrated marketing that is predicated. Know what your allowable cost is for a lead mm-hmm. or a conversion and keep reinvesting. Number two is have mm-hmm. multiple impact points that you're accessing your community. Number three is focus, I'd say four things. Number three is focus more on what's in it for them and than yourself and give them an offer that is, you know, call to action that is irresistible and has almost no risk to it, a very high promise of a payoff that they can see in a short period of time. And then number five is get other organizations, institutions, publications, people to joint venture or endorse you. It's a little more tricky than it sounds, but it's very powerful, and companies have been increased 10, 20 times over when they did that. But that's what I would do.
Fantastic. Now, for those of you looking to find out more about Jay Abraham's treasure chest of products and services, please visit www.abraham.com. And on this note, Jay, which of your many products would you specifically recommend for martial arts school owners listening to this show today?
Well, given the fact that most of them, truthfully, and this is not, I mean, if I never, do transact one iota of business with them, that's fine. But if you wanted my recommendation, which you've asked, I would say there's two or three things they should do. If they have a modest budget, they should buy the Money Making Secrets book, which is about $377, mm-hmm. and they can also call my office for it. It's 310-265-1840. Number two, this is a really neat tape set called, it's got two or three different titles. We've tested different titles, and one will outpull another. It's called How to Get from Where You Are to Where You Want to Be. It's also called How to Find the Hidden Profits in Your Business, and it's like a six-week, two-time-a-week, 90-minute session consultative series with me, and it's like $500. If you can afford it, I would go to the next level and buy a home study of one of our $5,000 mastermind marketing programs, because it's very powerful. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you can go higher and higher. But those are the basic things. And if you like, truthfully, anybody who wanted to email our office at APGI2, I think, at abraham.com, either that or APGI1, I'm oblivious. I would also be happy to send them one of the interviews that Tony Robbins or Fran Tarkenton mm-hmm. did with me, which are very good. They're very good, and they're very instructional. But, you know, it's like the trick is it's so much easier than you think, and it's very consistent to what everybody listening believes in, but they just have to do it, Rob.
Mm-hmm. You just got to do it.
It's like there's no secret. You just have to do it. It's like everything else. It's the key to martial arts. You don't get to, let's call it, first, second, third, fourth, fifth degree black belt status and stop and keep your proficiency. Same thing with marketing and strategy. It's a daily, monthly, continuously adhered to process, and done right, it'll be profound.
Mm-hmm.
Done wrong, you know, eke out an income and a living, but you'll never achieve the impact, the success, and the contribution that you have an obligation and a desire and an entitlement to really achieve.
Hmm. Jay, on behalf of the entire NAPMA organization, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your extremely busy schedule to help our NAPMA members around the world improve their marketing efforts as we blaze into 2004. And on this note, I know that your work has led to the creation of over 10,000 business success stories, and I truly hope that your generous work here today will add even more success stories to your ever-growing list.
It's my great pleasure, and thank you for the opportunity. I hope it makes sense. Until John, keep up the good work, okay?
Jay, I certainly will. Thanks so much.
Bye, Rob.
Bye-bye now.